Okay, so we're on Daf Memtet tonight. So we'll pick up where we left off last night. If you remember, we spoke about the Shitot with the Misha Para. So if you pay money, we had a machloket. Let's say you give a small amount. We had a machloket between Rav and Rav Yochanan. According to Rav, Kenegdo hu kona. So the Misha Para is only opposite the portion that you paid the money for. According to Rav Yochanan, it's opposite the whole that you're trying to buy. And then we learned a brisa earlier on Daf Mem Chet, and we'll come to this issue again today, that sometimes even if you didn't pay money, that you're still subject to a well, not a Misha Para, but in Ruach HaChamim no chayim, and the Chamim don't like it when you don't keep your word. Okay, so on Mem Chet Amud Aleph 49a, I'll begin three lines above where it gets wide. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kahana, you have a Zuze Akitna. So Rav Kahana is selling linen. So people gave money for Rav Kahana for linen. The Soviyaka Kitna, this is like this common theme. So in the meantime, the price of linen shot through the roof. So Atla coming to Rav. So Rav Kahana came to Rav. Now, we just went over, according to Rav, Misha Parah is only, the Kenegdo who Kones. The Misha Parah is only the part they paid for. So Amar Lei, so Rav said to him, B'mayin Nikita Zuze Havlahu. He says that which you're holding, in other words, let's say it was $1,000 for 10 pounds of linen, so but they gave him like a $10 deposit or something like that, so it only give so the amount of linen that they paid for pro rata that you should give them, the edak dvarim minhu, the rest is dvarim, it's just you said you were going to sell it to them, the dvarim yamana. But if you're just, in other words, you're breaching your word, but you didn't get any money, nobody did anything, it's not a breach of faith, according to the way that Rob is saying. On the second wide line, D'itmar, Devarim, when it comes to just words, Rab Amar, Ein Behem Mishum Mechus Re'amana. Rob says if you breach the word, it's not an issue of Mechus Re'amana, like a lack of faithfulness. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh Mishum Mechus Re'amana. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even there is Mechus Re'amana. So, again, so according to Rabbi Yochanan holds Kineged Kulo Hokona, that the Misha Parah is opposite the entire Chepta, in addition to which, Rabbi Yochanan holds, and the halakha will be like Rabbi Yochanan, that if you don't keep your word, even without payment, so that is like a Mukhlis Ramana. But let's focus on Rav for a moment, on the third wide line. So Rav says, words don't have Mukhlis Ramana. So Meitei, I mean, we ask question Rav from the following brice. Again, Rav is an Amara, though sometimes the Gemara says Rav Tanu Palig, but all things being equal, we'd rather him not be cholik with a Tana. So Meitei, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Matam Lomar, Hin Tzedek. So what does it mean? Let me get my Chumash out, which I have already, but there's a Pasuk in Chumash and Parshat Kedoshim. Let me just get it out. Yuntet, what lemon? Okay. So the Pasuk says, this is in Parshat Kedoshim. For those following Chumash, it's in Vayikra, Parak Yutet, Pasuk Lamed Vav. It says, Moznei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, Vein Tzedek Yelachem. So you should have correct scales, correct weights, correct dry measures, correct liquid measures is the way the R scroll is translating it. So the way the R scroll is following Rashi, that Eifa is a dry measure, and Hin Tzedek is a liquid measure. He says, "Ani Hashem Elokecha, which will come into Mitzrayim." But we'll see. The Gemara seems to learn here in our drasha that they're both. It seems like they're both liquid measures, the way the Gemara is learning. So he says, "Meitei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Meir Matam Lomar Hin Tzedek." So the Torah says, "Eifa Tzedek VeHin Tzedek." He says, "Below Hin B'chlal Eifa." We take it that Hin is a smaller subdivision of Eifa. So if you look at Rashi on the second arrow line, Hin B'chlal Eifa Shehin. It seems like Rashi is going with liquid measure. The hin is 12 lugim, shloshesin shehem lugim, and the eifa is 72 lugim. So it seems at least the way the Rashi is on the Gemara, there was liquid measure. One's a gallon, one's a quart, or whatever. So he says, "Below hin b'chol eifa elomar," back on the Gemara fourth white line, "shehein shulchat tzedek v'lav shulchat tzedek." In other words, the drasha is not hin, but hein. In other words, you should have correct measures, but your yes should be a yes, your no should be a no. You should keep your word. So here, how can Rav? Here, Rav says that Devarim, if you violate your word, it's not Mechusrei Amana, But the Tana learns that the Torah says in tzedek you should have your hand, you should be tzedek. So Amar Abaye, Ahush Lo Yidbar Echad Lev. So Abaye says that brisa is Lo Yidbar Echad Lev. Means when he's negotiating, if he says I'll buy this and he intends to buy it, then you know. So in Achinami, it's in tzedek. It's hein tzedek. It's hein tzedek. The fact that circumstances later on changed, then you know that everything is different. But he's not violating that din. Let's look at the sixth narrow line in Rashi. When he's speaking, he should intend that it should be true. If the market conditions change, then based on market conditions, he wants to withdraw from the deal. That's not a contradiction against Rav. Okay, let's see the next brisa, and then we'll pause a little bit. The sixth white line. Are you following everything, Seth? You're in the right place? Okay. So, Meife, we ask another question against Rav. Again, Rav says, if you just breach your word, it's Nishka Perlach. Meife, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now, this brisa we had in yesterday's Gemara, so it may sound familiar to you. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Pishamru, Talit Kona Dinar Zahav, even though the Chazal teach us, if a purchaser, you know, grabs onto the talit that he wants to purchase and he does a kinyan on it, so then the other person gets the dinar zahav. Being dinar zahav kuna talit, and if the seller grabs onto the dinar zahav, that doesn't, you know, doesn't require the talit to the buyer. Mikomakom kachalacha. It means the way Rashi learns in the previous staff, that notwithstanding that you're going to be subject to a misha para, but the halacha is that either one can renege. Avalamru misha para meshe dora mabul meshe dora palagam. But Chazal teaches that the person who punished the generation of the flood, generation of the Migdal Babel, who atili parameshino may be dibro, he's going to punish somebody who doesn't keep his word. This is the Misha Parah. If you remember, actually the Gemara is leaving out some parts from the Braisa. Yesterday we said that he punished Anshei Sodom v'Amora and Mitzrayim v'Yam. He's going to punish everybody. But it's a little tricky here. If you look at the Rashi, just give me 3 seconds, okay? So the 10th number line of Rashi, Avalamru Chacham and Chule, Sefer Katani. So Rashi says the Sefer the Braisa is the key that we need, but Choser Bo in Ruach Chachamim Noche Imenu. The Sefer the Braisa says that if you have a no save, no tain bedvarim, if a person buys and sells just with words, Lokana, but Choser Bo in Ruach Chachamim Noche Imenu. So there's no Kenyan. But the Chachamim don't like him. So here the Braisa says mefurash that if you negotiate a deal and you breach your word, so in Ruach Chachamim no payment, or how could Rab say otherwise? So the Gemara says Tanayim. So the Gemara says it's a point, but it's machloket Tanayim, and Rab is going to hold, which we'll learn in a minute, and Rab, we think, will hold like the other Tana who disagrees with the statement. Okay, let me pause for 1 second. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good here? Everybody good in Zoom world? Okay. Let me make sure everybody's here. 1 second. Okay. All right. Let me go on. Now, so the Gemara says on the 10th wide line, Tanayi. The Gemara says it's machloka Tanayim, whether if you breach your word, you know, is it in Rucham no Chaymenu? Zitnan, we learned the Mishnah. This Mishnah is later on in Masechta and Daf Pei Gimel. Masa Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya, Shamar Levno. It was an instant Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya who said to his son, say you score lano polim. Go out and hire some workers. Polim are usually like field workers. I can't say for sure what was doing in this case, but say you score on a polim. Go hire some workers. So halak pasak lemazonis. So the son went out. He hired workers, and he stipulated with the workers, in addition to whatever wages I'm going to give you, I'm going to take care of your food circumstances. So Shabbat Yisrael Aviv, when he came back to his father, Amarlo, the father said to him, Bini, apilu tasalehem kisah shomu shaito, even if you supply them with a fantastic meal, like Suda Shlomo, the Nabi says that Shlomo Melech would have this fantastic, sumptuous meal, and that's like in Halacha, like it says on when Erev Tishba was on a Shabbos. So even though normally you have to only have, you're limited, you can't have, you can only have one cooked item in the Suda Mavseket, but when it's on Shabbos, Apilu Malal Shulchan Apilu Kisad Shlomo V'Shaito. So he says, Lo Yatzati Dei Chobot Chaimahem, Shem B'nei Abraham Sof Yaakov. In other words, Jews, when you say meal, you left it loosey-goosey, so their expectation is for a fantastic meal. It's going to cost us a fortune. Ella, what I think you should do, the father says to the son, Ashpil Yechilu B'malacha, before they begin doing any work, save Emor Lehem, go tell them, Amanachi Lechwalaya, the pot, the kidney, blah, blah. The deal is going to be just bread and legumes, that's the deal. So, in other words, so the father, who is the Tana, the father's Rabbi Yochanan Matya, he's telling his son, even though you said A, if before the beginning of the work, say A is out, now we're going to do B. So he says, back in the Gemara, if you're going to say that just words, like we had just an oral deal, oh, you said something, I said something, that was the only thing. We didn't exchange money, we didn't do anything. He says, and that would be like a lack of faithfulness if you don't keep your word. How could he have told the son, change the whole deal? So we think that Rav must be going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Matya. He seems like that's the way he thinks. So the Gemara says, no. Shani hatam no, that case is different because the workers themselves didn't rely on the son's statement. In other words, the workers realize the son is not the doer and the shaker in this organization. The father's the doer and the shaker. So the fact that the son says, "Hey, we don't even think we have a deal with the son," he says, "My taima, why are they not don't have smichas das? Smichas das is like when you have a deal, like you're relying that this is going to be the deal. My taima made a yadi to alavu sama." They know the son is going to go back to the father. The father's the one who decides everything. So if that's the case, so ihachi afilu. So if that's the case, why did he tell them before they begin the work, say, this is the deal? What difference does it begin the work or not begin the work? But he said it means nothing. So he says, hidchilu b'malacha. Now, if they begin the work, then they do have comfort. They assume that the father did sign off on it. Amru, they would say, Maymar Amar Kami Davua. He must have said it before the father, before he had us do this work, Benichle, and the father signed off on it. So the Gemara, so Rav is not looking so good right now. It's hard to find a sheet that is supporting what Rav says, but that's the way it's going. But the point is the halakha is going to be like Rav Yochanan. So we have three levels again. So one is again that there's no kin unless you take a load of the chayfets that we learned in the Tana of the Mishnah, but then in addition to which, Rabbi Yochanan holds connected kulo hu kone. So if a person pays a little bit of money, nevertheless the person's on a mishapara, which is a harsh thing, like subject to this curse if he doesn't give the whole everything he did. But even if the person didn't give money, he and he breaches his word, so ein ruach hachamim no chayimenu. It's not good. The chachamim don't like what you're doing. So now the Gemara says, back in the Gemara, 20 lines from the bottom, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that, you don't keep your word, you're in Gahak Tzuris? If Reuben says to Shimon, I plan to give you this nice gift, he says, let's say I'm planning to give you, a Cadillac, I'm giving a Rolex watch. He says, Yecholach Zorbo. So the donor could retract the gift before he gives it. He can retract the gift. So Yechol, he could retract the gift. Obviously, he could retract the gift. In other words, Yechol means that we're not going to force him to give the gift. Ella Mutar Lach Zorbo. What Rabbi Yochanan said is he has a green light to be chozer on the gift. So here we said that Rabbi Yochanan says a person always has to keep his word. Yet the same Rabbi Yochanan says if he says, I'm going to give you a Rolex watch, and he changes his mind, so no Rolex watch. So he says, Amar Papa, Rabbi Yochanan Matan Muetet. So Rabbi Papa says, in Akhenam, when Yochanan says he can withdraw, that's if it's a big gift. A big gift, even the intended recipient thinks, who knows if he's ever going to be made this like fancy, expensive gift. Everything depends on, the donor, what's expensive, what's not, the time, the place, and the socioeconomic status of the donor. But if it's an expensive gift, so even the recipient doesn't think that necessarily he'll carry through. But he says, but if it's a small gift, then he's relying on it, then you should give it. So Haki Nami Mistabra, the Gemara says that's logical. The Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Abahu said Rabbi Yochanan, Yisrael Shamar Leben Levi, Kur Maser Yesh Lecha B'Yadi. He says, if Yisrael said to a Ben Levi. So Rashi points out, if you look at the Rashi, Leben Levi, Kul Levi, Kur Ben Levi. Every Levi is called a Ben Levi. So if a Yisrael says to a Levi, Kur Maser Yesh Lecha B'Yadi, I have a kur, which is a tremendous amount. In other words, I was mafrish Maser Rishon. Every year, the farmer, when he harvests his crops, you have to take off 10% as Maser Rishon. You to a Levi. Now, the Maser Rishon, which we'll see in Rashi shortly, we view that as a Matana Muetet, even though it's a large amount of Maser, but at the end of the day, he has to give it to somebody in the Shevet Levi. In other words, the donor, it's not for him. I have to give it away. It's the only thing that I get to decide is which Levi gets it. which lady gets it is a small gift from my perspective. In other words, I decide which one. That's like Tovas Hana. It's a small gift. So back in the Gemara, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Yisroshamar ben Levi, kur maser yesh chabiyadi, ben Levi rasha ila soto, true at maser, makom acher. The ben Levi, upon hearing of this gift that the donor intends to give him, he, the ben Levi, in other words, it's as good as done. If he says he's giving it to me, it's there. He's going to give it to me. So I, if I'm a Levi, I have to be mafresh tumas maser. I have to take 10% of whatever I get. So in other words, all the maestro, all the whatever I have, whatever maestro I get, I have to give 10%. So let's say I have other maestro, and I have to take 10% from those maestro. So I'm a ben Levi. You know what? The amount, the kur that you want to give me, that's tumas maser. That's going to be truma. In other words, it's going to go to the kohen. You want to give it to me? I'm going to give it to the kohen. That'll be 10% from all my other crops. So he says that ben Levi could do that. He says that's the end of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. So if I say that it's wrongful for a person to breach his word once he says, I'm going to do this, so therefore, in anticipation of that, the ben Levi is entitled to say that it's designated to be the Trumas Maaser. But if you say the donor could change his mind, he says, am I Rasha'i? So then, why would the Ben Levi be allowed to designate it as Trumas Maaser? It's going to come out at the end. The Ben Levi could be eating Tevel. If the donor changes his mind, and then he, this Ben Levi, never gets the Trumas Maaser, then at the end of the day, the Ben Levi was going to be eating Tevel. In other words, because he has to be Mafresh Trumas Maaser. So, well, Rav is out of the picture at this point in time, but where within Rabbi Yochanan said that if a person is making a small gift, we're trying to prove a small gift, you have to keep you got to keep your word. So that's what we're trying to prove. The Rabbi Yochanan, this is Rabbi Yochanan, and then this corroborates what we said before. So the Gemara says not necessarily. The Gemara deflects this proof. The Gemara says no. The case that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about could be where not only did the person say, I'm going to give you this kur, he gave it to him. In other words, he gave it, the Levi received it, and then the Levi gave it back to Israel just to keep an eye on it. Like we had before yesterday, we had about Levi given, and it says, Ihafi, that's the case. So, Ihafi ema seifa. So, if that's the case, let's go. It's interesting the Gemara refers to it as seifa. You see, Rabbi Yochanan, it's just a statement from Rabbi Yochanan, but it almost has the feel of a braisa, does it not? It was this Mishnah Hebrew, and now the Gemara refers, let's go to the Sefer, it means like the end of the statement. It says, Nitanola ben Levi Acher, if the donor gave it to a different Levi. So the donor, Reuven, said, yeah, said, I'm gonna give it to, to Gershon HaLevi, and instead he gave it to Kahana Levi. So he says, Nitanola ben Levi Acher, ain't the level Tarumet. If he gives it to a different Levi, the first Levi only has tainas against him, but that's it. So he says, "If you assume the fact pattern is that the donor gave it to the recipient gave it back to the donor just as a pikadon, am I in the world of tarumet? Came the mashke. Does that make sense? In other words, it's his, right? You're giving away my maser." So at the end, you have to say that can't be the case that he gave to him and gave it back. It must be the way we said initially, that he said he was going to give it to the Levi, but having said he was going to give it, it's like as good as a done deal. And Mamila, then the Ben Levi is entitled to designate it as a truma. But the only thing is like So the Sefer is Tarumas. So let's take a look. In other words, let's see the Rashi. Okay. The Rashi around 20 lines on the bottom. So he says, Mishumahachi Rashi, Shiyeshto, that the Levi, who is the intended recipient of the gift, can rely on the Pasuk in Sefanya. Sefanya is one of the Levim. We never have a Haftorah from Sefanya. He says, and we quoted this pasuk yesterday in Rashi. And again, the Levi that he says he's going to give it to you.
The remnant of Israel won't do like iniquity and won't speak deceitfully. So he can rely that the donor will not give it to a different Levi, and I could designate it as Truas Maaser.
So Rashi says this is a matan uetet, a small gift, notwithstanding the fact that it's a kur, which is a large volume of tavua.
Because the only ownership interest that the donor has is to give it whichever Levi he chooses, but he's got to give it to a Levi. He says, "Ein lo alav, ein lo ben Levi rishon al Yisrael zeh la tarumet shepticho betochel nechzava." He gave him like a false situation. So let's go back over again. So we're saying, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if a person says, "I'm going to give you a gift," and it's a small gift, and then he's not allowed to breach his word. He should carry out through his word. If it's a big gift, the person doesn't have like smichas das that the person necessarily will do it. He says, let's look at the previous Rashi on that. About motor Rabbi Yochanan matana wetet higher than what we were before. She'ein mutar lachzor mishum desam chadaiti de mekabel adibur. The person relies on his statement. V'chiyama mutar lachzor ba matana meruba kamar lo sam chadaiti de mekabel lekaimel adibur. There he doesn't rely the necessarily the person will come through with it. Okay, now the only thing. So you asked me if
we're saying a case that never actually gave it to him.
Right. Right.
Safer saying if he didn't go through with that, he gave it to someone else.
Yeah, he only has tarumas. He only has like tainas against him. He says, let's take a look. Yeah. Right. Right. In other words, I know, right. I can't bring you to Beis Din for it. But we're going to do the right thing. That's the way it is. Okay, that's the best I have with that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did already? All right. So I'm going to move on. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let's see further. Okay, now we're around 8 lines from the bottom on Mem Tet Amud Aleph. Ahu Gavra, Yayv Zuzei Ashum Shemei. There was a certain man, again, seemed like the same similar fact pattern. He gave money for sesame. He says, L'sofi Yakir Shum Shemei. And then the price says to me, right, it shot high. Hadrubahu. So the seller is pulled out of the deal. But Amrule, late lan shum shemei, shkol zuzach. We don't have any sesame, or, you know, I don't know for you, whatever, but here's, take your money. So lo shakil zuze. He didn't take the money. In other words, the seller said, well, right. In other words, we're pulling out of the deal, and here's your money. He said, I don't want to take my money. So he says, ignuv. So the money got stolen. So Atul Kami de Rabba, the whole chaver came for Rabba for Psak Din. Amarle, so Rabba said to the buyer, came into Amrilach, Shkil Zuzak, Lo Shaklat, since the seller said to you, take your money, and you didn't take the money, Lomi Bay a Shomer Sachar Bohabi. Not only is not a Shomer Sachar is Chai for Pshi and Chai for Gneba Veda, Elafil Shomer Chinam Nami Lohabi. He's not even a Shomer Chinam. In other words, he's zero, so you're on your own with that money. So Amrile Rabban on the Rabba, so the Chami said to Rabba, but the seller should be subject to this mishapara. So maybe, in other words, he took the money, and so he should be subject to this curse of mishapara. Perhaps when he would face this option of the klala, maybe he would decide to go through with the deal. So maybe he is, you know, maybe the money is his money. In other words, maybe it's the seller's money, and maybe things are different than the way you're saying. So he says, look at Rashi. The Habayla Kibbulim Kolei B'Dilma Lo Havi Makabel. Maybe the seller doesn't want that. But Shtachak Tzuzi Deyu. So at the end of the day, it's the seller's money. So the loss is the seller. How did you figure this out? So Amar Lahu Hakinami. He says Taka. That is the way it is. So in other words, we're going to have to do Mishapara. If the guy says I don't want the Mishapara, then he's going to have to absorb the loss. The seller will absorb it. But if he says no, I'm not going through with this, and I'm going to take this Mishapara, and the loss is on the buyer. No, in other words, the only thing the Beis Din is going to do is give this kala to him. So if he's not going through with the deal,
he says,
I'm not going through with the deal. Then he's got to give him the sesame, and he's got to absorb the loss. Okay, but we don't. So now 5 lines to the bottom. Amar Papi, Amar the Rabina, the Didi Amar Li Ahumi Rabban Rab Tuvit Shmei, Rami Loa Rab Shmuel Bar Zutra Shmei. He says, so Rav Papi is saying that Ravina said to him that one of the Chachamim came to him inside the Rav Tabot or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, and he said that he was the one who was involved with this incident, and the fact pattern was different than what we just described. So we just described an incident with the sesame. So one of the Chachamim came to Ravina and said no, or came to Ravina and said, I'm familiar with this, and the incident involved me, and either Rav Tabot or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, and it was differently. He says, in other words, if you would have given him all the treasures in the world, he wouldn't be Mishana from his Dibur. He was very firm. He wouldn't deviate from what he had said. And he said, with me, it happened. And there was this person who came to him. The fact was, it was an Erev Shabbat, Friday afternoon, getting close to Shabbos, Baba Yativna. And he, this Chacham, either actually it's either Rav Tabit or Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, Rav Tabit or else Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra. He says, Ba'ata hu gav Rav Kaya Baba. This person came in and he stood in the doorway. Amarli, he said to me, Idlach Shum Shemei Lezabuna, do you have any sesame to sell? So turn page, the top line on Memteno days. So Amri Leilo, I said, no, I don't have any sesame. So Amarli, Levu Hana Zuzei Pikarun Gabach, Da Chashali. Let this money that I have, let it be a picot on a bailment. I want to leave it with you. It's getting dark, and I got to dispose of my money before Shabbos. So Amri Lei, so either Rav Tavod or Rav Shmuel Bar, what's his name, Rav Shmuel Bar Zutra, said to him, Habeta Kama, the house is open for you. So Rashi says it's not really, he's not accepting any chiyuvei shmura. You want to keep it here. The house is open to you, but I'm not doing anything. So Odvinu Beveta, so he put the money in the house, Ve'ignov, and now the money got stolen. So after the coming to Rava, so he says, so the time, I guess the person who lost the money came for Rava, Amar Lei, well, Habeta Kamath, when if you say my house is open to you, he says, Loma Baya Shomer Sachar Lohabe, he's not a Shomer Sachar, if he's a Shomer Chinam Nami Lohabe. So you're not even a Shomer Chinam. So the fact pattern was different than the way you had repeated the story. You said that somebody was buying the sesame and he pulled out of the deal. That wasn't the case. He says, Amri Lei. So I said to him, Amri Lei Rabban on the Rava, Ibai Lei Lekabuli Lei Mishapara. So Amri Lei, they said to, again, so this is Ravina speaking. So one of the Chachamim came to Ravina and said, this is the way it happened. So Ravina says, I said back to this person who came to me and told me the story was this way, but Amrulei Rabbanan the Rava, Yibayle Lekabulei Le Mishapara. But in the previous rendition of the story, people said to Rava that the person has to accept upon himself Mishapara. And with your rendition of the story, there's no room for that statement. But Amarli, he said to me, Lo Yidvar Meil, and it never happened. It was Rava never said it like that. Right. So let me just do a little Rashi on this, then we'll talk. So on the first line in Rashi, the top line on the Gemara. Oh, wait, actually, this one down here. The top line in Rashi. So Amri Lei, Amri Lei Rabban the Rava, Ravina Amar Laha Milta. So Ravina is relating what was said to him. His Amarti Lo Lahumi Rabbanan. I said to the rabbi who came to me, Hechi Amri Dalav Chazart Mecha Kumim Karhu. How can you say the story did not involve reneging on a financial deal? So he says, okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Quiet group today. All right, let's keep moving. So we're around the 10th line down on Mem Tenor Days. 49B around the 10th line down. Okay, the two dots. So Reb Shimon Omer,
Rabbi, sorry, before you start, I was going to ask, when you have a matana mu'etet and something that is more, what is the distinction? I mean, at what point would you consider to be a...
Wait, you mean why is Matan Mu'etet different than Matan
Maruba? No. I understand the logic, but at what point? I mean,
It depends on the circumstances, like the wealth of the people, you know, what you know what I mean, like the society and things like that. You have, in other words, if, you know, if both parties live in Kings Point, you know, you have one level. If both parties live in a more modest place, then they have, you know, a different shear. What would be okay?
All right.
Let's see the tenth line for that. So We have a chule, but that's extra here. It doesn't belong there. So in the Mishnah, the Tana Mishnah says if you pay the money, but nobody's done Mashiach on the goods, so either side put reneg on the deal, but subject to a Mishapara. Reb Shimon says, and Reb Shimon holds that we learned already, Reb Shimon holds that the Kesef is kohen on a Deraisa level. Reb Shimon says that if money has been paid, then the seller is in the seller can renege on the deal, but not the buyer. Only the seller can renege on the deal. So it means that if a buyer comes to the seller and the seller has the goods and he's got the money, the seller is in the driver's seat. He can renege on the deal or go forward with the deal. So the Gemara says, Tani, we learned the Braisa, and we don't understand this Braisa, and we must be very patient. So Tanya, Amar Rishimen, Ematai. So the Braisa Rishimen says, when is this true? When the Mocher has got the money, and the Mocher has the payroad, then he's in Yadu Al Yoni, he's in a superior position. About Kesef Biad Mocher, Upero Biad Lokeach, but if the seller has got the money, and the purchaser has got the payroad, Eino Yechol Lachzorbo, and this we don't understand, and we must be patient. About Kesef Biad Mocher, Upero Biad Lokeach, Eino Yechol Lachzorbo, Neshekaspo Biado. He can't renege on the deal, because it sounds like we think that the buyer has got the money. We don't understand the whole thing. So the Gemara says, Biyado, Biyad Mocher. What do you mean? But we said The seller has got the money. Ella, if they should demay Kaspo Biyado, because the buyer has the value of his money. So we think that he's saying that if the buyer has got the goods and the seller has got the money, so nobody can retract. So Pshita, that's obvious. So Amar Rava, Hachamayaskinan, So Rava says the case that the Braisa is referring to is that the purchaser owns a premises, and the purchaser has leased out the upper story of his premises to the seller. So the seller is a tenant of the purchaser, of the buyer, right? He says, so he wants to say that in this circumstance, so in other words, right. Well, what's the yisod of the Mishnah that even within Reb Shimon, let's leave out everybody else. According to Reb Shimon, on a derais level, the money is kona, like Reb Yochanan. But in Reish Lakish agrees that Reb Shimon holds this way. So the money is good on a derais level, but the Chachamim said it's not good on the Rabbanan level because we're afraid that the seller would say, Nisrafuchi techa ba'aliyah. I'm afraid that there'll be a fire and the seller won't in any way work very hard to save the things that are getting burnt down. Now, he's going to say, we'll see in a minute in the Gemara, he's going to say that where the premises already belongs to the buyer and the goods are in the buyer's premises, then he's not going to, the seller's not going to say, there's nothing to worry about that he's going to say, well, yeah. So he says, we're four lines above where it gets wide on Mem Tenor Bays. So, Tamamai Takin Rabbana Mashicha. Why the Chachamim established, again, according to Reb Shimon, that Mashiach is Kona, Yizera Shem Yomar Lo, because it's Yizera that the seller will say to the buyer, Yisrafuchi Techa Baliyah. You know, your wheat got burnt in the Aliyah. Hacha, Rishut Lokeach Ninu. Here, it's already in the Rishut Lokeach. In other words, the Lokeach owns, let's say, a building, and he's leasing out the upper story to the seller. So he says, Inafla Dleika Ba'ones. If a fire broke out through some onus, like nobody's fault, he says, "Iu tarachu maiti la." So the buyer himself is going to, you know, be energetic to save it. So under those circumstances, there's no reason to say that the money is not kona. The money will be kona according to Reb Shimon. So then let's go back to the Braisa and try to touch up the words of the Braisa with the Braisa men. So again, reading the Braisa again, 10 lines above where it gets wide. So Tani Amar Shimon Eimat Times Matcha Kesef Upeiro Biad Mocher Aval Kesef Biad Mocher Upeiro Biad Lokeach Eino Yechol Lachzorbo Mipnei Shekaspo Biado, or we say Mipnei Shedemei Kaspo Biado. So what the Gemara is referring to is that it means that if the buyer gave the money to the seller, but the goods are in this premises that the seller has been leasing from the buyer, then he can't be, he the seller cannot be chozer from the deal. In other words, even though he just got money and the buyer didn't do mashicha, under these circumstances, the money is kona, even on a Rabbanan level. Let me get to the next Mishnah and then we'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, on the last narrow line in the Gemara, Ahu Gavra the Ivzuze Achamra. There was a certain person who gave money for wine. The buyer gave the money already. The Sof Shama the Kabai Leminsve the Bay Parzek Rufila. In the end, he heard that this officer is going to seize the wine. In other words, like a government officer is going to seize the wine. So Amarle, so the buyer says to the seller, Havli Zuze, let me have my money back. I don't want the wine anymore. So Akhtal Kamid Rav Chista, so he came for Rav Chista, Amarle, Kiderishtu Mashicha B'mochrim, Kachnu Mashicha B'lakuchot. In other words, just like they said that the just like they said, Mashicha has to be done, you know, vis-a-vis, in other words, to finalize the deal vis-a-vis the seller, Kachnu Mashicha B'lakuchot, also to finalize it vis-a-vis the buyer. Let's take a look at Rashi. Kachnu Mashicha L'Akzor B'hen L'Akuchot. In other words, let me see the previous. In other words, just like the seller can renege as long as the buyer hasn't done shicha, so too the buyer can renege as long as he has not done shicha. Now, the only issue here, which the Mefarshim speak about, is there a mishapara in this case? In other words, here it's like maybe not the typical way. It's not the seller that's reneging on the deal. It's the buyer wants to renege on the deal because the buyer got news of this. So some want to say that where it's like it's through outside, you know, unusual circumstances, the government's about to seize it, so then he's not subject to a mishapara. And someone say no, and the Bali Tosfos would say that way. In the Tosfos on Zion with Bays. So Tosfos quotes this Gemara. If you want, you can look at the Tosfos. He says Kachdum l'kuchon mashal for Reb Shimon idlei drav chifafil mishapara leka came to ikahevse l'gamrei. In other words, in this circumstance, it would be a total loss. So it's not even a mishapara. That's what some want to say. But others want to say, no, he can withdraw from the deal, but he's subject to a mishapara if he does that. But that's the piece. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
They already had exchange of words and they had an agreement over there.
Right.
So if it's a loss, now that it's his mazal.
Well, again, we're discussing this. Again, right. So the payment of the payment of money doesn't affect the Kenyan. Only the Mashiach does the Kenyan. So the Talmud says either party can withdraw, but there's a Mishapara. But the only thing is there a Mishapara here or not? And then that's the Machloket. So Tosfos says there is no Mishapara, but then another opinion is there is a Mishapara. Okay, let's see. Everybody good? Okay, now this is Perek HaZahav, and now you're going to find out why it's Perek HaZahav. So, well, yeah, from the next Mishnah speaks about Ona'a, which is price fraud. And from here to the end of the parak, which will take us till after Pesach, is Ona. Right. Now, the only thing I can say is at the very end of the parak on Daf Nun Chet, the Gemara gets into a subject of Ona, Devarim, of like saying like hurtful words, and that's much easier. But between now and then, we have to deal with it. now
What's the connection between Ona and Tony?
It means like cheating, abusing, hurting somebody, or hurting somebody financially, hurting them with words, verbally, right? Okay, so now with Ona'a, the key with Ona'a is there's three dinim, whether is the amount of price fraud or whatever, less than a sixth of the value, a sixth of the value, or more than a sixth of the value. So if it's less than a sixth of a value, then we assume everybody's mochel. In other words, the true value of the item was, let's say, $60, and the seller sold it to me for $59. So a six would be $50. So it's understood that everybody's mochel. Or the seller sold it to me for $61. So it's understood everybody's mochel that. Okay, that's if it's less than a sixth. If it's more than a sixth, let's go on the Gemara. Look on Nun Amud Beis, tomorrow's daf. Let's turn to page 100, Nun Amud Beis. Okay, so if you look, 10 lines from the bottom, no, no, base 50B, 10 lines from the bottom. So Amar Rav, everybody with me? Okay, Amar Rava, Hilchata, Pachot Mishtut Niknamekach. If it's less than a sixth deviation, then it's a deal. And it's just everybody's mochel. Yoter al Shtut, Bitomekach. If the deviation was more than a sixth, so then everybody goes back to the way they were. We put everybody in the status quo ante. Shtut, if the amount of deviation is exactly a sixth, Kana Umach Zirona. It's a good deal. But you have to adjust the price to whoever got more money has got to give back the money to wherever it needs to go. Now, that's the halakha l'maisa, but in the Mishnah, if it's exactly a sixth, you could give back the money and have it, or you could be mevatel nekach as well, according to the din of the Mishnah. The rabbi is saying halakha l'maisa, but according to the din of the Mishnah, if it's exactly a sixth, at your discretion, you could either undo the deal or get the money back. So if the buyer was defrauded, he gets the money back, or he can void the deal. Or if the seller was defrauded, he can get the money back, or he could void the deal. Okay? So if it's exactly six, you're sort of in the buyer's seat. Now, okay, let us wait 3 minutes and I will pause. Let us wait 3 minutes and I will pause. Okay? Now, there's two elements. Okay, there's two elements involved. Okay, one is the amount, which we did already. The other is the time limitation. How long do I have to assert my rights of onah? And we'll see in the Mishnah what the fear is for that. All right, now let me just read the Mishnah and then I'll pause. Okay, so let's take a look. So manitim ha'onah arba'a kesef miyastrim v'arba'a kesef l'sela shut l'mekach. So onah is 4 ma'av kesef from 24 ma'a kesef to the seller. So we think the pshat is like this. Let's say the true value of the item is one seller. The seller is selling an item that's worth one seller, which would be 24 ma'a. And then there's a deviation in the price of 4 ma'a. So he either undercharges or overcharges. So if he undercharges, instead of selling it for 24 ma'a, sells it for 20 ma'a. So then that would be exactly a sixth. That would be a sixth. Or instead of selling for 24, he sells it for 28. So if he sells it for 24, if he sells it for 20, then the seller has been defrauded. If he overcharges, then the buyer has been defrauded. But that would be exactly a sixth. On my time lutar lahakzir, so how long do you have to undo the transaction? So again, according to the Tan of our Mishnah, if it's exactly a sixth, you can undo the transaction. Well, or the other way is also you get the money. But if you're saying, if I want to undo the transaction, how long do I have to do that? So it's taken from the perspective of the buyer to afford enough time for the buyer to show it to another merchant or to his family member. So we have to value it. How long would that take? But it doesn't sound like it would be a lot of time, maybe a few hours or something like that. Ho Rabbi Tarfon Belod, Rabbi Tarfon made a ruling in Lod, Ha'ona Shmona Kesef, Miyasrim V'arba Kesef L'Sela, Shlish the Mekach. So Rabbi Tarfon said, Onah is not a sixth, Onah is a third. So if the item we think was worth 24 ma'a kesef, and now he's charging 32 ma'a kesef, which would be a third more than 24, that would be a case of Onah. B'samhu tagarei lod. So the merchants in Lod were ecstatic because they charged stiff prices. Right, now they can charge even more and then get away with it. So he says, Amar Lahem, but he said to them, Kol Yom Utar Lachzor, but the buyer has a whole day to retract the deal. So you get more of a time, some like more lenient with the money, but more expansive with the time. So Amru Lo, so they said to him, Yaniach Lan Rabbi Tarfon Kamina, let's leave us where we were. I like the better way without Rabbi Tarfon. Then we had like the chachamim. You got a short time limitation and 1/6, and that works for us. Okay, now who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Yes. What do you have for us?
So, question is: if shiurim are halachah moshe Sinai, so are we saying that shiurim is something that?
All right, I don't know. We'll have to see as we get into the sugya. I don't know. We'll have to see as we get into the sugya. We see it's machloket, so it doesn't sound like it's not right. Kamei Sinai. So let's think back on the Gemara. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, we got to keep moving because I got to finish the daf today. So let's hold off for questions like what's, okay? So the eighth wide line, Gemara, Itmar, Rav Amar Shtut Mekach Shaninu. Rav says when we said a sixth, it means a sixth of the fair market value of the item. That's how you calculate it. Ushmul Amar Shtut Ma'o Nami Shaninu. So Shmuel says that if the sixth of the money that was paid is also in a type of onah, and we'll see in a minute the nafkamina between the two. So now the Gemara gives us an example. Shavei shita b'chamsha, let's say the item was worth six and you sell it for five. He says shavei shita b'shiva, or is worth six and you sold it for seven. So again, the true market value is six. So if I have a deviation of one zuz more or less, that would be onah. So in other words, the item is worth, let's say $6, and I sell it for $5, which is for defrauding the seller, or I sell it for $7, which is defrauding the buyer. That those would be two cases of onah. Kuliyamalo pligi the batar mekach azlinan onah havi. So there, Rav and Shmuel both agree those are cases of onah, meaning exactly 1/6. Those are cases of exactly 1/6. He pligi, but the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel is as follows: Shabi chamsha b'shita. Let's say the true value of the item was 5, but he sold it for 6. So if I view it, so in other words, let's say the item is worth 5. And he sells it for 6, so it's overpriced. So in terms of, if I look to the value of the item, it's more than a 6, because in other words, the item was worth $5, I sell it for $6. So I'm selling it for a fifth more, not a 6 more, a fifth more. That's not onah. I mean, it's not the case of exactly onah 1/6. But if I view in terms of what was paid, $6, so the deviation from the true price to what I was paid is $1, so it's 1/6 of what was paid. So in other words, so that's Shmuel. So Shmuel is saying we don't only look at the value of the item, we look at the deviation of what was paid. He says, Bishavi Shiva Bashita. Or let's say the thing was worth $7, and I sell it for $6. So the Shmuel the Amar Batar Maudas Linan Ibi the Onah Habi. So according to Shmuel, both of those cases will still be Onah. He says, the Rav the Amar Betach Batar Mekach Azlinan. According to Rav, that we only look at the value of the item, Shabi Cham Shabashita. So if it was worth 5 and I sell it for 6, so I'm selling it, so there's more than the 6th Ona'a, Mito Mechachabi. So then we're going to undo it. That gets, it's not exactly the 6th case, but it's more than the 6th. He says, Shabi Shiva Bashita, but according to Rav, if it's worth 7 and I sell it for 6, so it's 1/7, which is less than a 6th, and I, in other words, I paid less than I should. That's mechila habi, according to Rav. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, "Kimin mechila ubitul mekach." When do we get into bitul? When do we get into mechila and bitul mekach? Heifed lekashtut mishnei stadim. In other words, if there's no, I'll get into bitul mekach and mechila. If there's no way that it can add up to a 6, either way, he says, "Aval heifed ikashtut mitzadachad." But if there's a way to calculate it out that it would be a 6, either from the value of the item or in terms of the money that was paid, onah, that's the case of 1/6. In other words, according to Shmuel, there's more than one way to calculate the 6. It could be a 6th in terms of the value of the item or a 6th in terms of what was paid for the item. Either one of those would be a 6th, according to Shmuel. But according to Rav, I'm only going to look at the value of the item. Okay? Now the Gemara tries to bring proofs to Shmuel from our Mishnah, which will not be successful, but will, and then we're going to quote a Braisa that will be successful. Okay? Tanan, welcome, nice to have you. So, if you want, you can join us. We have a Gemara. Okay. So, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ha'ona'a arba kesef, means shrimi arba a kesef, lesela, shtut lemekach. So, the Mishnah says that Ona'a, again, if form of kesef, from 24, if the seller is charging a seller, So four ma would be the onah. So my love, so the Gemara thinks, is it not the case of the Mishnah, not the way I explain the Mishnah. My love, the zabin shabi esrim, the esrim v'yarba. Is it not the Mishnah speaking about where the item is worth 20 ma? In other words, so not the way I explain the Mishnah. I explained the item was worth 24 ma. But he's saying the item is worth 20 ma, and he sells it for 24. So he says, and he says, Ushmami na shtut maot nami shanim. So again, if the item is worth 20 ma'a, and I overcharge you 24, so in terms of the value of the item, so 4 versus 20 is 1/5. That's not exactly a 6, it's more than a 6. But in terms of what I paid, so I paid 24, so 24 and 4 is exactly a 6. And yet, so if I say it in terms of what I paid, then I have a 6. And we think that this Mishnah supports, we think it supports Shmuel. So if the Mishnah is the way we just explained, it does support Shmuel. So the word is low. Zavin, Shavin, Esrim, Yarba, Yesrim. No, the case of the Mishnah is he sold something that was worth 24 ma, he sold it for 20. So that's not a proof to Shmuel. So if that's the case, he sold something that was worth 24 and he sells it for 20. So Mina Dana, who got cheated in that transaction? In other words, the price. Right. So the first way that we were bringing Brayer for Shmuel, it was the buyer got cheated because it was worth 20, he paid more than it. But now the way that we're revising it is the seller got cheated. So Mocher, so Amos Sefer, let me go to the next line in the Mishnah. On my time part lahazir, how long does the buyer have to undo the deal? B'chdeshiyar el tagar or l'krovo, enough time to enable him to show him the chepetz to another merchant or to his mishpacha. But Amar Rav Nachman lo shanu lo keach. Nachman says we're only talking about the purchaser. About Mocher liol mechozer, the seller has an open ended when he can withdraw from the deal. But the point being that the case in the Mishnah doesn't seem to match up with the way we're explaining the Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah seems to say that the buyer is the one who got defrauded, but the way we explain the case of the Mishnah is the seller got defrauded. Ella dezavin esrim the arba'a be'esrim utamanya. So the Gemara says, no, the case of the Mishnah is the item was worth 24, but he sold it for 28. So the case of the Mishnah is the item was worth 24, and the item was overpriced for 28 ma. So the 4 is definitely a sixth of 24, but it's overpriced at 24, not 24 selling for 20, 24 selling for 28. And then it makes sense that the lokeach, so we're learning the Mishnah, it doesn't bring proof to Shmuel, the Mishnah's good according to Rav or Shmuel, but it's an overpricing, and the whole Mishnah fits together now.
It's exactly 1/6.
Right. Now, but it's 1/6 higher price, not lower price. Okay, so now, Tanan, now we're going to try to bring in proof again for Shmuel. It was 6 lines from the bottom. Tanan, ho Rabbi Tarfon belod, Rabbi Tarfon made a ruling in Lod, ha'ona shmona kesef, mi'atrim yorba kesef, l'sela, that the ona would be 8 ma'a from 24 ma'a for a seller, shlish l'mekah, 1/3 for the sales price. So the Gemara has a similar line of argument here as well. My love, dezavin shavi shitzar, shitzrei, b'atrim yorba. Is it not that the item was worth 16 zuz, and he sold it for 24 zuds? So if he's selling, if the item is worth 16 and he's selling for 24, so in terms of what was paid, so it means the buyer overpaid. The buyer paid 24. So it's like price gouging vis-a-vis the buyer. But if I look at the amount of money that was paid, 24 and versus 8 versus 16 is 8, that's 1/3. So, but that's a proof for Shmuel, because I'm calculating it not in terms of the value of the item, but in terms of what I paid for the item. I paid 24, it was worth 16. So I'm paying 8 more than the value, but the 8 vis-a-vis the 24 is 1/3. But if I do it, if I'm only working off the value, so wow, the, it's like 50% of the thing. That would be proof to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, low. No, I'll say the pshat in the Mishnah is, Zavin Shavin Esrim Yarba'a B'shitzar. No, the case in the Mishnah is it was worth 24, and he sold it the shitzar for 16. Right. So he got a high discounted rate. So the seller is getting defrauded. In other words, he's selling it for 8 ma less than its true value. So means Dana. So who's the one who's getting cheated? Mocher. The seller is getting cheated. Ema Seifa, Amar Lahem, Kol Yom Utar Lachzor. So in the second case of the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon says that you have the whole day to renege on the deal. The mocher is not limited in time. So it doesn't fit in so well, because you're saying that the seller is really getting defrauded, but then Rabbi Tarfon is saying how much time the buyer has to renege. So the Gemara says, Ella dezavin shavi esrim v'arba b'tlat in a train. No, the case in the Sefer is the item was worth 24 and he overcharged for 32. So then that's not a proof to Shmuel, but everything works out well. So it's price gouging, but from 24 to 32, but the eight is 1/3, which is what Rabbi Tarfon has. Okay, so
1/3 will be okay according to
Rabbi Tarfon. All right, now let's just do a few more lines. That'll be it. A few lines on the bottom. So these proofs didn't add up to proofs for Shmuel because we deflected both of them. So Tani Kvati Shmuel. But now we learn a brisa that supports Shmuel. Mishu Hutalav. If a person has been wronged, Yado al Yoni, he's in the superior position financially. Ketzad, Machar lo shava chamisha b'shisha, if somebody sold him an item worth 5 zuzim, he sells them for 6 zuzim. Says Minatana, who's been cheated? Lokeach. Yeah, Lokeach al Hayona. Lokeach's in the driver's seat. Ratza Omer lo, Omer, Tenlu Malatai. He could say, I want my money back. I don't want this deal. I'm undoing the whole deal. Well, we'll see. It's only 1/6 according to Shmuel. In other words, he paid 6, so it's 1/1. But according to Rav, not. He says, oh, Tenli Malashonitani, or give me, you know, give me some of my money back. Macharlo Shavashesh Bechamesh. So now the Gemara says, if he sells something which is worth, this is Brisa. Macharlo Shavashesh Bechamesh. If he sells something worth 6, if he sells for 5 zuzim, minatana, mocher, yad mocher al yona, rasal melo teli mechi, o teli ma shonitani. So this brisa proves Shmuel. This brisa is on all fours with Shmuel. Because if you use the amount of money that was paid, it works out to exactly 6. So you have all the remedies open to you. So he paid, it was worth 5, he paid 6. So if I say it's by the amount of money that's paid, so it's 1 zuz off from what he paid, so then he has all the remedies. But according to Rav, It's 1/5, so it's only Bitul Mecca. You can't say, you know, so he could be batel the whole transaction, but he can't say, give me the one who's back. And then, you know, on the other hand, if the mocher, let's say it was worth 6 and he underpaid by 5, so there again, according to Shmuel, that's the case of Onah, but according to Rav, that's not the case because it's more than a 6. So again, the mocher has all the remedies. But according to Rav, you wouldn't have all the remedies. Okay, that's going to be it for tonight. That's what he's saying. That's what he means. Okay, what's up? All right, let me hear the question on the spot. It's fine. Go. To the sellers or the buyers? Right. So, right. In other words, ideally, he should be paid the true value. Or we'll have to talk tomorrow. Okay. One second. Wait. I gotta go. I'm so sorry. One second. The time got used up. One second.